Okay, so this is some research that I did in collaboration with Lee Lindblom, also from Caltech, and with Joel Tolin of Louisiana State University. So Lars was speaking about our modes briefly. So what are our modes? Very simply, there are circulation modes of rotating stars. And so they are just perturbation of the velocity field of the star. They don't change much the underlying density structure for the star. And here on the right, there is a little graph of what an R-mode looks like. It's four big circulation patterns at a constant radius on the star. And you can see an equatorial view and a polar view. So there's four big patterns, but they're actually moving around on the star. So they're rotating in the opposite direction to the rotation of the star. And so the strange thing with these modes is that they couple to gravitational radiation because they have a current quadrupole moment, and so they emit gravitational waves. But the emission of gravitational waves does not damp the R-modes, but it pumps them up. And because of this, they are driven unstable by radiation, and they provide a way to convert the rotational energy of the star into mode energy. While they do so they emit waves, the R-mode grows, and the star spins down. And if a star is rotating fast enough, and some neutron star might, then the neutron star emits, this process is fast enough that the viscosity cannot damp it. So actually, the star can spin down and emit a sizable amount of gravitational waves. And of course, this is very interesting as a source of gravitational wave for LIGO, for instance, and as a way to explain the lack of very rapidly spinning neutron stars, as some expect to get from supernovae. But the actual details of this process depend on the strength, the duration of the waves, and the total spin down of the star depend on where this growth of the R-mode will saturate. And no one really knows either how or when that happens. And so there's been lots of physics in this field. And what happens is that many people come out with several attempts to try to kill the R-modes as a good source of gravitational waves. But then there's always somebody who comes to the rescue. And there's really lots of physics going into this. So you can try to kill them with superfluid neutron stars. You can try to kill them with a crust. But so far, they're still pretty much alive. So we investigate one possible cause of saturation, which is the nonlinear dynamics of the R-modes. That is, we know their theoretical shape from just linear analysis, but we don't really know what they do when their amplitude gets big enough that their hydrodynamics is really nonlinear. So to do this, we use Newtonian simulations. We put the neutron star on a grid, and we take the neutron star as the simplest thing we can take, that is a Newtonian polytope with the simplest equation of state we know that represents a neutron star reasonably well. The parameters for the neutron star are the usual ones, 1.4 solar masses and a radius about 12 kilometers. And on top of this rigidly, rapidly rotating model, we add a small amplitude velocity field that corresponds to our R-mode, our theoretical R-mode. And then we solve the Newtonian equations with some numerical scheme in a 3D grid. But there's one ingredient which is missing, which is that as the star emits gravitational radiation, the waves, so to speak, push back on the fluid and pumping up the mode, spinning down the star. And the way they do this is what we call the radiation reaction force. So we have to add a radiation reaction force, which is a general relativistic ingredient, to our Newtonian simulation in order to see the growth of the R-mode. We do so using a post-Newtonian effective force. But again, there's another problem here, is that we have some limitation on how fast we can run things numerically. And if we use the realistic value for the radiation reaction force, we'd have to wait way too long for the star to do anything interesting. So we have to increase the strength of this radiation reaction force by a big factor of 4,500 in order to see the evolution of the R-mode on reasonable times. So this is the first simulation we did. So we monitor this R-mode amplitude by projecting the velocity field of the fluid on a theoretical expression for the R mode. So this amplitude alpha is something like a scalar product, and it's a dimensionless amplitude, and the order of magnitude is that is, if alpha is of order unity, then the velocities in the R mode are of order of the rotation velocities in the star. And then we actually recover the theoretical value. When we begin, we say that we set our R mode so that alpha should be about 0.1, and we get something like that. And so we start pumping up the R mode, evolving the system, and we see in this graph on the abscissa, you see the time in rotation, initial rotation periods for the star. On the other axis, you've got the amplitude of the R mode, and it grows very nicely exponentially until it reaches about 2. At that point, the growth slows down a bit. And then after a peak at 3.3, which is pretty high compared to what people used to think about saturation amplitude, there's a big crash. The R mode just goes down very rapidly. So what is it that limits the growth of the R mode and then actually kills it, given this crash? Well, there's a clue, which is we monitor the energy, the total energy in the star. And here on the left, you see a plot of the total energy in units of the initial kinetic energy. And it's negative because the system is bound. The solid curve is the actual evolution of our energy diagnostic in the run. And the dashed curve is what we get from theory just by computing how much energy the gravitational waves are carrying away. So as you can see, as the mode still has some definite amplitude, there are gravitational waves, and they're carrying away energy. But at some point, they stop doing that because their mode is going down. But still, the star is still losing energy. Where does that energy go? Well, the answer is that as the R mode peaks, there are shocks that dump the mode energy into thermal energy. And we're not counting that thermal energy in this graph for the total energy. And we actually went to the star, and you can see these big waves that break on the surface of the star. And if you go and study the velocities for those waves, you see that they are indeed shocks. And that's where the energy goes. So I think this is the moment for the movie, which will. So what you're going to see here is the evolution of the R mode from an amplitude of about unity on. And what you see is this is the density profiles for the star, which look like translucent surfaces. So there's a 10 to the minus 2, 10 to the minus 1, and then going in. And you see the star is squashed because of rotation. But here we're in the corrotating frame. And the first thing you're going to see is the density perturbation associated with the R modes. It looks like approximately two big bananas on top of each other. But after that, you see that these waves actually form on the surface and then break. So, so this is the density perturbation that's consistent with an R mode that's been calculated. And at some point, you can see that something begins to happen on the surface, the big waves that then break. And that's when the R mode dies. And there's more detail in this graph that you can see, but it's pretty evident that some very violent process is going on the surface. So, okay, one more thing. We've been using this large value for the forcing term. And so that poses the question of how reliable a value for the saturation amplitude is. So to do that, of course, one would like to decrease the force and see what it does. Instead, we increased it in order to get a faster simulation than what that, again, was affordable to do. And we increased the force by about one third. So in this graph, you see, again, the amplitude. And the green curve is the original one. It's a detail of the big graph that I showed you. So the red curve, instead, is a is the evolution of the amplitude if we pump up the radiation reaction by about one third. So you see that the growth is fast, as we expected, but it does pick up at about the same level. And the wiggly blue curve is another evolution with it, starting with a theoretical R mode, that is an approximate expression at a large amplitude. So that, again, the growth is lower, and there are some wiggles while the R mode finds it its own proper shape. But then again, it goes on to pick up at the same value. So the answer is that this value for the saturation amplitude is reliable unless there are important nonlinear processes, such as mode-mode couplings, that act on timescales that are longer than the hydrodynamical timescale, which we are modeling right in the simulation, but still which are much shorter than the actual R-mode growth time, which we are modeling for 4,500 times too short. So was that 2 minutes to the end of the 15th period or the 10th? Okay. No, I guess I can take questions here. Okay. So this greater saturation amplitude and the sudden crash of the mode do change the expected waveform for the arm emitted by the arm mode and the detection scenario. And that's actually going to be the subject of Lee's talk, which he might be giving tomorrow, if not today, but which is a complementary talk to this. Okay. That was all. I think it scales. It should be the dimensional amplitude. But it is it.
Say you're forming shocks, like if I'm thinking it, but then something goes to the time.
Yeah.
Which to me is not an amplitude statement, it's a block, an absolute block, in the sense that the rotation is slower.
Yes. I see. Let's see. So this star starts at about 1,000 hertz, and they go down by maybe 20%. So at that point, it's still large. But you're right. There might be some scaling with that, and we chose a representative instance. But, well, no, they are actually, but that's a very low density, though. So what you're seeing, the blue thing that you're seeing in the movie is actually the outermost layer for the star. And that's 10 to the minus 2, which is not so outermost. It's still 100 meters maybe below the crust for... well... I guess so. Yeah. I think so. This is at very high temperature, so there's going to be no crust at this level. So. Well, there is a question of the. So we're treating those waves as cold matter. They're still at zero temperature, like all the stars. So we're not changing. We're still keeping the same polytropic equation of state. So there is a question whether the actual heat dumped back into the star is enough to change the adiabatic exponent enough to actually give different dynamics, and. We thought it did not, but there have been a couple of suggestions that it might. So that's something we will look into soon in the future.